I'd like to welcome you all here. I'd like to welcome also those listening on the internet, those watching maybe on DVD down the road, or MP3. Also, I'd like to welcome our guests. We have Romare here for the first time all the way from L.A., somewhat in my backyard. And then we have Brother Wilson, which we spent about 6 months since the Feast of Tabernacles, and also Sister Loretta and all those here, Sister and Linda. That's horrible when I forget my own wife's aunt's name. But it does happen. This will be Romans part 6, and it will be Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 today. I thought about deviating from this today, since we are at the eve of the Passover. But as I reviewed the content of Romans 8, I believe it's appropriate and meaningful for the Passover. It talks about Yahshua's saving grace, the freedom from the condemnation we have only through our Savior. I thought it was very appropriate to review today, Romans chapter 8. So let's begin with verse 1. Verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yahshua, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yahshua has made me free from the law of sin and death." Paul says here that there's no condemnation to those in Messiah. This is a message for Passover. There's no condemnation to those in Messiah. What does Paul mean by this word condemnation? It's from the Greek word katakrima, which means destructive sentence, or an adverse verdict. What Paul is saying is, in Messiah we're justified, we're acquitted from the destructive verdict we would all be guilty of without our Savior, without Yahshua. Again, this message seems even more important considering we're but a few hours away from honoring the Messiah's death and what He did for you and I. The only reason we have any hope today is because of our Savior, Yahshua, and what He did for you and I. Only through His blood are we released from this condemnation that we find here in Romans chapter 8. Not for our Savior, we would all have a death sentence. We would all be worthy of death. We would all fall under this condemnation that we find here. But again, through Yahshua, that condemnation is removed and replaced by grace through His blood. This is what we call justification. Justification is confused by many people. Justification is being found innocent, as if you've never sinned. You're free from sin, from that condemnation through Yahshua, the Messiah, our Savior. And this is what we find here. I want us to understand that it's only through our Savior that we find this freedom from this condemnation. Only through Him are we forgiven of our sins through His blood. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 continues with this thought. It says, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak, through the flesh, Elohim did by sending His only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin." He condemned sin too in the flesh. Now, according to what we find here, why did our Father in heaven send His only begotten Son to this earth? Why? What was the purpose? We find that Yahshua accomplished what the law could not do. And what was that? Well, we find here that the law was weak through the flesh. What does Paul mean? Weak through the flesh. What is he referring to? According to Hebrews, the Old Testament sacrificial law could only cover sin, could never wash away the sin. Only through Yahshua, only through our Savior, are we free from sin's condemnation. And this is what we find here, that we're free from sin's condemnation through our Savior. You see, man's sin requires more than the blood of bulls and goats, and that's why it was inadequate. Because it requires more than sacrificial animals. Only the blood of Yahshua can wash away sin. Paul says here that our Savior condemned sin in the flesh. It was through His own flesh. It was through His own suffering. It was through His own death and through His own blood that we stand here today acquitted and free from this condemnation that we find here in the book of Romans, and that we would all be under if not for our Savior. Again, without our Savior, without Yahshua, we would all be guilty of sin and all be worthy of death. Romans chapter 8, verse 4, it says that the righteous requirement, now listen to this passage, of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Now listen, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now Paul says something here that the vast majority of ministers miss today. He says here that the righteous requirements of what? The law are fulfilled in us who do what? Who walk according to the Spirit. Who walk according to Yahweh's word. You know, most ministers say that we're freely justified with no responsibility or obligation whatsoever to obey that old archaic law. But Paul here seems to say otherwise. Paul says that we who walk according to the Spirit, we who walk according to Yahweh's word, we have a responsibility to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. Now, what does the word righteous mean? Need to define this word righteous. It's from the Greek dikaioma, which means an equitable deed, by implication a statute or a decision. So there's no confusion. Let's define the word law. What does the word law mean? It's from the Greek word nomos, which means, quote, this is from Strong's, a regulation specifically of Moses, including the evangels. So what do we find Paul saying here? Well, Paul says that righteousness of the law refers to equitable deeds. According to what? According to the law of Moses, the regulations of Moses, and the evangels. So to walk by the Spirit implies much more than simply believing and having faith and doing nothing to show that faith. Believing is living Almighty Yahweh's word. It's obeying His truth. It's following His ways. Again, he says that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You know, people who live for this world, they have no concept of what it means to live for Yahweh's Spirit. They have no concept of what it means to live for the truth. People are too busy. They're too busy with their careers and their hobbies. They're focused on what impacts them instead of what impacts Almighty Yahweh. Paul says something very important here. He says, to be carnally minded is what? He says, death. That's an important message to understand. To be carnally minded is death. There's not a greater consequence within Yahweh's word than what we find right here. And that is to be carnally minded is death in Yahweh's eyes. Paul also says here that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What a contrast. You know, there's a fulfillment of purpose with Yahweh's truth like none other, like nothing else. It's always sad for me to hear of people who've invested their lives with the pursuit of money and prestige to only find themselves in the end alone and miserable. This happens more often than what most realize. It's amazing, people who win the lottery, more than half are miserable according to most statistics. They're miserable. Money, prestige, wealth, this does not bring fulfillment. We don't find fulfillment in money or prestige or what. We find fulfillment in Yahweh and His Word and in our Savior. That's where we find fulfillment. As Solomon said, all this is vanity, is vanities. All is vanity. There's no substance. The only sure thing we have in this life is what we find right here in this book. And that is Yahweh's Word, His truth, the promises of His kingdom, of everlasting life, to be called sons of Elohim, which we will see today. Everything else pales in comparison. Nothing else compares to Yahweh's word, to His truth, to the fulfillment, the peace that we find right here within Yahweh's word. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind, listen, is enmity against Elohim, for it is not subject to the law of Elohim. There's that old archaic law. Nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. Well, Paul here, he explains why people who walk according to the flesh can't please their Heavenly Father. He says that their carnal mind is enmity against him. It's enmity against Elohim. And as a result, it's unable, it says, to conform to his law. Now, what does the word enmity mean? Well, this word in the Greek means hatred or opposition. Hatred or opposition. Those who are carnally minded, according to what we find here, are in opposition or in a state of hatred to Almighty Yahweh and His word and His will. You see, to live and walk by the Spirit, we need to conform to Yahweh's will, to conform to His word. Those who refuse to do this place themselves in opposition as an enemy to Almighty Yahweh. And that's not a state we want to be in. We want to be conforming to Yahweh's will, conforming to His ways to please Almighty Yahweh. And the way we do that is we obey Him. That's our responsibility. We have a responsibility to obey our Father in heaven. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, we find a very important message here. It says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Messiah," listen to this, in this day and age of synchronism and day and age of all is accepted, listen, it says, "He is not His." He is not His if He is not part of Messiah. Paul says here that if we have not the Spirit of Messiah, what? We're none of His. We're none of His. You know, the old adage that many roads lead to salvation is simply false. It's in contradiction to what we find here from the Apostle Paul. There's one road, one path, and there's one Savior. There's not many Saviors. There's not many roads to salvation. There's one. And that's what we find here. There's one way, and that is through the Messiah, Yahshua. If we are not part of Him, we are lost. We must be part of Yahshua. We cannot find this salvation in Buddhism, Hinduism, Sikhism, Islam, or any other religion. Only through our Savior and through our Father in heaven. You know, even though salvation is a gift, it's not a gift given to all. We understand that. In Matthew chapter 7, Yahshua said, "For wide is the gate and broad is a road or way that leads to destruction, and many, many enter through it." You see, living for the flesh is not an easy, or is an easy road. There's no obstacles in the way. There's no tribulation to suffer. And for this reason, most people choose to follow this road. Choose to follow the broad path, the easy path. The only problem with this path, this road, is that nobody wants to go where this road leads. And that is destruction. Matthew chapter 7, Yahshua went on to say, "But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So according to the Messiah, will the masses of this world find salvation today? Absolutely not. Yahshua said only a few would find salvation. Again, as our Savior said, the road to salvation is narrow, and only a few would find it. These people who believe that it doesn't matter who you are, what you believe, or how you live, could not be more wrong according to Scripture. Yahweh's word says that there's one way to live, and that is through obedience to Him, relying and putting our faith in our Maker and in our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. There are no alternative paths to follow. There's one, and that is through Yahshua our Savior. Again, the concept that we can all go down different roads and reach the same conclusion is dead wrong. And it will lead to destruction, those who pursue this way. Romans chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "If Messiah is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness." Notice that righteousness. "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Yahshua from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Messiah from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." We're now first notice what Paul says in verse 10. Paul says that if the Messiah is in us, that if we have Messiah in us, by the way, this happens at immersion, at baptism. It says our old man dies and we take on Messiah when we're baptized into His name. But it says when this happens, our bodies are dead. Our bodies are dead to sin. Again, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. And this is why our bodies are dead to sin. But through Yahshua, what we find here that our bodies are no longer held accountable for that sin. This goes back to being free from the condemnation of sin through the Savior that we read in verse 1. That through Yahshua, we are free from this condemnation. Now, what else does Paul say here? Paul says, but the Spirit is life. Why? He says, because of righteousness. What is he saying here? Well, I believe that Paul is saying that the Spirit leads to life. Why? Because we live a righteous life. We live a life according to His ways, according to His will, according to His design. I believe that Paul is saying that the Spirit leads to life because of how we live and what we do. You know, we've already read where Paul said that living for the flesh is enmity. Enmity. Remember what that means? An enemy. Opposition to our Father in heaven. We can't do that. What else does Paul say? Paul says here that if we're a Messiah, that as He, Yahshua, was raised from the dead, so will we be raised from the dead. You know, there's not a greater promise than the one we find right here. The promise of the resurrection. The promise that when Yahshua returns, He's going to gather the elect, those immersed into His name, and they will meet Him in the air as He returns to this earth to establish His Father's kingdom. There's not a greater promise. We found this message in Romans 6, the message on baptism. When we're immersed into Yahshua's name again, we die to our old man. And we're, from that point on, to live a new life dedicated to our Father in heaven and our Savior. To receive the gifts that Paul speaks about in this passage, we must be part of our Savior. And this goes back to what we just read in verse 9. We must be part of Yahshua to receive these gifts. Again, this with Passover this evening, it's crucial that we understand this message. And the importance of what Yahshua did when He died on that stake and that tree. When He died, He shed His blood and He made it possible for you and I to find justification and to be free from the condemnation of the law that we would all be under without His blood, without His atonement, without His sacrifice. It's so important at this Passover season that we understand the great sacrifice that Yahshua made and that our Father in heaven made by giving His only Son for you and I, so that we can be free from this condemnation, and not only free, but find the hope of the resurrection as He was resurrected. There's not a greater promise, I can assure you, that we can latch on to as believers. The promise of the resurrection to be raised with Yahshua at His return, and to live forever. To be with Him forever. And all this confusion and tribulation that we have will pass and will be no more. Romans 8 verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Listen, verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, these are, present tense, are sons of Elohim. Are sons of Elohim. We find here another comparison between living for the flesh and living for Almighty Yahweh. Living for the Spirit. Paul says that those who live after the flesh must do what? Must die. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Those who live after the flesh must die. Paul doesn't pull any punches here. I don't believe that the vast majority of ministers understand or comprehend the message we find right here in Romans. I believe that if they did, we would hear many more messages on repentance, turning from sin, and turning to Almighty Yahweh. Instead, we hear messages of doing nothing, just believe. There's nothing you need to do. All you must do is have faith. Well, it's not true. Living a righteous life includes obeying Almighty Yahweh. We've seen that. You see, the entire book of Romans is really about one thing, balance. And specifically with salvation. Balance with salvation. Paul writes about how salvation is a gift that's not received based on works or dead. We don't receive salvation because we deserve salvation based on what we do or have done. We receive salvation because Yahweh loves us and has given us that opportunity through the blood of His Son. This is how we receive salvation. But this does not remove our obligation or responsibility to obey. You understand that? It's about balance, understanding where and how we're saved and the responsibility we have as believers in the faith. Paul also says here that for as many as are led by the Spirit, that they are, listen, sons of Elohim. Sons of Elohim. You know, and I wish I can convey in words the blessings that we find here in this passage. There is nothing greater in this life, I believe, than being counted as sons of Elohim. We are children of the Most High. And someday, we will rule with our Savior when He returns to gather the elect from the four corners of this earth. Again, I wish I could do or say something that would give us a glimpse into what this means to you and I, sons of Elohim. There's not a greater honor, a greater blessing, a greater calling than what we find here, sons of Elohim. This is the highest calling we can receive from Almighty Yahweh. In this world, if this world could see the blessings and the significance of sons of Elohim, of Yahweh's kingdom, of the promises that awaits those whom are called and chosen, I believe that we would see mass conversions worldwide. We would be seeing people convert throughout this world. But most are blind to this truth. As Yahweh's people, we need to always remember the difference between living for the flesh. Because guess what? Yahweh's people can revert. Yahweh's people can backslide. And it's so important that we understand what it means to live after the flesh and to live after the Spirit and the consequences of both. One leads to death, the other leads to sons of Elohim. Which one would you prefer? I would prefer sons of Elohim. It's the greatest honor to be a child of Almighty Yahweh. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself or itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of Elohim. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Elohim, and joint heirs with Messiah, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Paul says here that we did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear. What does he mean? Or this goes back to what Paul said at the beginning of the passage. Those of us in Messiah are free from the condemnation of sin. And as a result, we have no reason to fear. We are sons and children of Elohim. Paul goes on to say that we've received the spirit of adoption. Now listen, it says, by which we cry, Abba, Father. I believe that this is important, Abba, Father, this phrase. The word adoption is from the Greek word heothesia, which means a placing as a son, adoption, the placing as a son. Again, those of us in Messiah are sons of Elohim through the adoption we've received at immersion. We are part of Messiah. We are part of Him. Now, what does the word Abba mean? Or the word Abba is Hebrew meaning Father. Father. There's not a closer relationship, in my opinion, than a father and his child or children. The love that's shared between a child and a father is like nothing else. You know, a person might think about giving their life for someone else, but it's not even a thought for their own child. It's amazing the love, the deep love a parent will have for his children. I can say that there's nothing as deep in this life. This is a relationship we should have with Almighty Yahweh. He's our Abba. He's our Father. This goes much deeper than Elohim. He's a Father, an Abba to all of us. Such a wonderful relationship we share. Yahweh is not this distant, mighty one who shares no closeness with those whom he calls. He's an Abba, he's a Father. And the relationship we share with our children, we should share with Almighty Yahweh, our Abba in heaven. As it is written, for Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yahweh gave the most precious thing he had for you and I. Our Abba gave his own Son so that we may have an opportunity for resurrection, for life after this. He gave the blood of his only Son so that we may have the hope of eternal life in his kingdom. Tonight, when we partake of the Passover, I want us to think about the great sacrifice that both our Abba made and our Savior made. It was no small feat. I can't imagine doing what Yahweh did for you and I. Giving the closest thing, being to him. And he freely handed it over. And we were completely undeserving. Matter of fact, Scripture says that we were enemies. And yet, Yahweh, through his love, gave the only Son he had for you and I. The gift, the love, the mercy, the compassion that Yahweh has poured upon us is beyond words. He's given all so that we might find life through his precious Son. All we must do is accept that blood and to strive to live for him. And he's removed that fear. He's removed that condemnation of sin. Romans 18:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. As I've said, nothing can compare to the great blessings we have through our Savior, and we have through our Abba, through our Father. You know, we can try to find comparable pleasures in this life, in this world, but I can assure you that nothing we can achieve now will compare to what we will receive in Yahweh's kingdom. Nothing will compare to Yahweh's kingdom. We're called sons of Elohim, sons and daughters of the Most High. There's not a greater calling, not a greater relationship. If not for Yahweh, I know that I would be lost. You know, without Yahweh, I know that I would not have the purpose I have today. And I suspect, I hope, that we would all feel the same in this room. Without our Savior, without our Abba, we would all be lost. We would suffer from a lack of purpose and fulfillment. I know I would. There's no greater purpose or calling in this life than to serve our Father in heaven, to serve him. I've known people to leave the faith for money or prestige, and then years later, to only see them miserable and alone and unfulfilled. And yet their pride is unwilling to relent and to repent before Almighty Yahweh. It's a shame. You know, we could spend our entire lives looking for fulfillment outside of the faith. Money, prestige, career, it doesn't matter. Nothing compares to the life that we will achieve and have in the kingdom to come. Yahweh's given us such a wonderful blessing through his Son. We ought to praise him, glorify him. We ought to give him all thanks for all that he's done. Because without Yahshua, without our Savior, and without our Abba's love, we would all be lost in our sins, and we would still be under that condemnation. Such an important message. The kingdoms of this world can't compare to the fulfillment we have in Almighty Yahweh and in our Abba and in our Savior. Let's continue with Romans 8, verse 19. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. Notice that sons of Elohim. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of Elohim. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now, what is Paul speaking about in this passage? Or Paul's describing the earnest. In the Greek, that means intense anticipation, the earnest, for the full adoption for his people, the sons of Elohim. In verse 22, it says that the whole creation groans, waiting for the anticipation of this adoption to occur. This is referring to when we will be found worthy, the saints, of the first resurrection of Yahshua's return. And we will be changed, it says, from carnal to immortal, mortal to immortal, corruption, incorruption. We will be like our Savior. What an awesome day this will be. I don't think we can even fathom this day yet, but this will happen. We will rise to meet Yahshua and be changed. It says, changed in a twinkling of an eye. From this mortal that we are today to the likeness of our Savior. What an awesome day. In verse 20, Paul says that this life is subject to vanity, meaning that this life is not without its trials and tribulations. We will suffer, and we do suffer. But someday we find that this vanity will be replaced with what? It will be replaced with the full adoption as sons of Elohim. You see, it's not complete. It's a process. It's a process that begins at immersion and that will end at the resurrection when we are fully adopted as sons of Elohim. Paul says that we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan for this time, eagerly waiting this adoption, this change, the redemption of our body. You know, someday this life that we have now, our very bodies will be a thing of the past. It will all come to an end. Those who receive the first fruits of the Spirit, as we find here, will receive the full adoption as sons of Elohim at Yahshua's return. When he comes again to gather the elect from the four corners of this earth, we will be changed and we will be adopted, grafted into his family. The full adoption. What an awesome promise. And remember, all this we find is only possible. It's only possible through our Savior. And I want to hit that home today because it's Passover this evening. And we need to understand the importance and significance of what Yahshua did for us. The reason we're here today, the reason we have any hope at all today, is because of our Savior, Yahshua. As we partake of the emblems tonight symbolizing our Savior's body and blood, I want us to remember that what we find here is only because of Yahshua. Without our Savior, without his blood, we would all be doomed in our sins. We would be under the condemnation of sin. Yahshua gave all so that we might have an opportunity for the full adoption as sons of Elohim. And there's not a greater promise than this here. Romans 8:24. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. This hope that we find here is like faith. Faith that is seen is not faith. Hope that is seen is not hope. Paul said that we eagerly wait for this hope. It's something we can't see. We're hoping for this promise. And it says we do so with perseverance. You know, we know that living the life of a believer is not easy. And we know that as Yahshua's coming becomes closer, things will only become harder. Waiting for this requires, as we find here, perseverance, devotion, dedication to our Maker and to our Savior. Now, as I see the signs around us coming to pass, I can't help to be concerned about Yahweh's people. I see a lot of people who are a little bit lukewarm. They don't want to fully devote themselves and their lives to Almighty Yahweh. They like to dabble yet in the world. I can assure you that if this time comes upon us in our lifetime, there will be no dabbling. There will be no lukewarm, apathetic devotion. We either completely devote or we leave. There's no middle ground with Almighty Yahweh. This is the reason this message is so important, no matter what. No matter what happens in the future, no matter what persecution, no matter what trials, no matter how we suffer because of our faith, we need to hold on to the conviction, the belief, the faith that we have today. Because if we lose that, we lose our opportunity for Yahweh's kingdom to come. As Yahweh's people, we need to always remember the awesome blessing, the promise that awaits those whom are called and chosen. We need to exercise and work on our faith and devotion so that when this time does come, if it does come in our lifetime, we're ready. We're ready. Because if we wait, it's going to be too late. If we have the attitude like many, many people do today, I'm going to hold off until things get bad, or until I get old, until I'm done doing what I'm doing, too late. We need to focus and devote now. Not when it's convenient for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. This is likewise the Spirit also helps in our infirmities or weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I want to take a closer look here at this passage. Paul says here first that the Spirit helps us in what? In our weaknesses or infirmities. What does the word weaknesses mean? Well, this word comes from the Greek asthenia, and according to the Thayer's Greek lexicon, means A, lack of strength, weakness, infirmity, used of the body, B, feebleness of health or sickness, used of the soul, C, to understand a thing, a greater perception of Yahweh's word, D, to do things great and glorious, E, to restrain corrupt desires, and F, to bear trials and troubles. Now, to whom or what is Paul referring to? Or he's referring to Yahweh's Spirit, to his Ruach HaKodesh. So we find here that the Spirit serves as a tool to sustain us in our weaknesses. Now, what are these weaknesses? I believe that it helps to overcome the flesh, to withstand the trials and tribulations, and to bring to light some of those truths that our carnal mind can't comprehend alone. That helps in all these ways. What Paul meant here is that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses and our infirmities when we fall short or don't understand His Word. Paul also said here that the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What is Paul saying here? Paul is saying that it is through the Spirit that we receive the knowledge, the encouragement, the strength to continue on, which cannot be uttered with spoken words. You see, yet through this Spirit, through Yahweh's truth, we find help that's deeper than words. And I think that's what it means here. It says, cannot be uttered. It's deeper than words. It can't be uttered. Not because it physically cannot be uttered, but it's deeper. It's assistance that Yahweh has placed through His Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. It says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of Elohim. Paul's saying here that with Yahweh's Spirit, it is able to intercede on our behalf. Now, how does it know that? How does it accomplish this? It does this through knowing our minds. How does it know our minds? It says it searches the heart. Searches the heart. Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, said, keep my heart, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? The issues of life. The issues of life is found within the heart. Again, Yahweh's Spirit searches our hearts and knows our minds and makes intercession based on that knowledge. As we saw in verse 26, this intercession is for weaknesses. Maybe we need to understand something we don't and can't with our feeble minds. Maybe it's strength and encouragement because of some tribulation. But it's Yahweh's Spirit encouraging and helping us to understand His truth. This could include, again, physical sicknesses, emotional sicknesses, or sufferings or tribulations. In each one of these examples, it can intervene on our behalf and help us to overcome. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love Elohim, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Now listen, called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Paul says first here that all things work together for good to those who love Elohim. You know, sometimes in life we don't understand why things happen the way they do. For example, why does Yahweh allow His people to be afflicted with devastating diseases and illnesses? Why? Why is it that we can try to pursue a goal and no matter what happens, we cannot and we will not achieve that goal? Why is it that these things happen? Well, again, Paul says all these things work together for good to those who love Elohim. Yahweh's in control. I think sometimes we forget this. Yahweh's in control. We may not understand why things are happening, but we need to understand that in the end, it will work out for His good and our good. And I'm sure Job, he did not understand why things were happening around him. His wife wanted for Job to curse Yahweh and so he could die. I mean, the poor guy was miserable. He didn't understand. Or sometimes we don't either, but we need to understand that all things work for good if we are living and striving to please our Father in heaven. Paul also says here that Yahweh foreknew us and predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Well, what does it mean to be that He foreknew us? And what does it mean to be predestined? Well, the word foreknew comes from the Greek proeosko, which means to know beforehand or to foresee. The word predestined comes from the Greek proodizo, meaning to determine or to preordain. Now, what does Paul mean here when he says that He knew us, He foreknew us, that we were predestined to be called? Now, several of the reformers of the Protestant Reformation believed that this passage, along with many others, proved that we're predestined, that those who are called are predestined, and that they can do absolutely nothing to lose that salvation. Well, I can assure you this is not what Paul is saying. Scripture shows that we are called, or if you will, predestined, or preordained according to Yahweh's will. We're called according to Yahweh's will. But I believe that this predestination or this calling stops with this calling of Almighty Yahweh. You know, our Savior said many are called, but few are chosen. This predestination stops with the calling. Whether we succeed, whether we achieve Yahweh's kingdom is up to us. Yahshua said, blessed is he that endures. You see, we must overcome. We must strive to live according to Yahweh's truth. And if we do not and we refuse, we are not predestined for salvation at that point. We've missed the mark. Yahweh called us. Yahweh preordained us, if you will, predestined us to His faith, but we refused. And we missed the mark. We missed the mark. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. An elder I knew years and years ago loved to quote this passage. I had to include it with its own slide. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? This is so true. You know, I think oftentimes we forget that Yahweh is protecting us. He's watching over us. And we need to have faith and belief that He will see us through whatever trial or tribulation it may be. This elder I knew, he would quote this weekly. You know, if Yahweh is for you, who can be against you? And he believed this, and he lived by this belief. And I think that's something we need to do here. We need to live by the belief that we know Yahweh is for us because we're striving to live according to His ways. And as a result, who can be against us? Nothing can be against us if Yahweh is for us. This is such an important understanding. Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against Elohim's elect? It is Elohim who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is the Messiah who died. And furthermore, it is also risen, who is even at the right hand of Elohim, who also makes intercession for us. Where this basically is the same thing, what we just saw. If Yahweh be with us, who can be against us? It says here that he spared not his son, and we have hope and we have grace through him. He has freely given us all these things. This is, who can bring a charge against us? Yahweh's elect, Elohim's elect. It's Yahweh who justifies. The world doesn't justify. Man doesn't justify. Yahweh justifies or removes our sin through the blood of his son. So again, we need to have confidence in our Father in heaven and believe that he is able to see us through no matter what tribulation, trial, or sin. That if we are living a faith devoted to our Father in heaven, to our Savior, that we are freely justified, and no one can remove that from us. Also says, who can condemn us? Messiah died and he's risen. And we all know what Scripture says about he's risen. We will rise with him because we died with him at baptism. If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? No one. Romans 8, verse 35. This is, who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Elohim, which is in the Messiah, Yahshua, our Master. Now, Paul, he was a man of faith. Paul here, he asks, who can separate us from the love of Messiah? And Paul confirms that he will not be removed. He will not be separated. He says, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, poverty, sword, nothing will separate us from the love of Messiah. Paul was determined not to let anything come between him and his Savior. And we should strive to do the same. I would pray and hope that we would all have this same devotion and dedication. Paul was an amazing guy with an amazing faith and an amazing devotion to Almighty Yahweh, to his Abba, and to his Savior. No matter what came his way, he never lost hope. Paul suffered. He really suffered. This man went through many, many trials, and yet in all of them, he kept on going. He did not stop, and neither should we. He understood what was waiting for him in the life to come. Something is great waiting for us in the life to come. It's Yahweh's kingdom. All that we suffer today pales in comparison to our calling as sons of Elohim. We will receive the full adoption at the coming of our Savior. There is nothing greater than sons of Elohim, a full adoption into the family of Almighty Yahweh. There's a great day coming. We should never forget who we are. We should never forget where we're going. And we should never forget what our Savior did for you and I. And yet, let's remember what we've heard today. When we partake of the emblems tonight at Passover, thinking of how Yahshua suffered for you and I, and all that he gave, so that we may be free from this condemnation and have a hopes of the resurrection and the life to come. May Yahweh bless you.